Welcome to Manners and Madness, a Jane Austen and David Lynch podcast. My name is Maya Adkins.
And I'm Christian Cabrera. And today we are diving into Three Amigos.
Yeah, we are straying from our normal fare and our, you know, we're kind of behind schedule and we just needed kind of a filler episode that was going to be kind of easy and fun.
Exactly.
And it was on our list.
Right. And it's kind of one of those movies that I feel like a lot of people have seen and they reference or they quote or whatever. And it's one that I've not seen yet. So it's definitely very much needed viewing.
Yes. And actually, I was thinking a lot about The Cowboy and the Frenchman when I was watching it. I was like, this kind of reminds me of Cowboy and the Frenchman because there's cowboys singing. Well, I don't know if they're cowboys, but
they kind of are towards the end.
It's like a desert. It's a cowboy setting, at least. And there's singing and dancing, and it's silly.
Exactly. And there are technically Europeans in it, so.
Yeah.
That's close to France.
No, not French, but we had a lot of Mexicans, I assume.
Yeah. Well,
looking at the cast list, there's a lot of Spanish people. Yeah, or
definitely
Spanish names.
At least maybe some Spaniards and some Latine cast members.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like a lot. I was like, this is like kind of, I don't know what word I'm looking for.
It's kind
inclusive?
Of
inclusive.
Well, yeah, it's nice to not have like, you know, the whole West Side Story thing where they're like, we'll just cast Italians and give them a spray tan. Yeah. And it's like, oh God.
Yeah, we didn't have like a brown face going on. I was pleasantly surprised. You know, sometimes you watch something from the 80s and you're like, oh darn.
Yep. Luckily there was none of that, so which made me very happy.
Yeah,
but yeah, I mean, should we just get right into first impressions?
Sure, you go ahead since it's your first time.
First time. I really loved this movie. I thought it was very silly and stupid, which is one of my favorite brands of humor. I love Steve Martin and I love Martin Short.
Yes.
I almost said, like, in my head I was saying Short but saying Martin Freeman, and I was like, that's not it. Martin Short. I loved them both and I think they're very hilarious, and I just knew it would be the dumbest thing with them two in a movie together, so.
Yeah, and this was Chevy Chase back in his heyday as well.
Yeah,
so it was a good combo.
Before all the drama, but yeah, I mean, they were all great. Very dumb. I really loved it, and I loved the way it looked. I love like a little western kind of scene, and I don't know, I was happy to see that there were a lot of Latine cast members, and yeah, I just really enjoyed it. I thought it was a great watch.
Yeah. And no, like, I didn't feel like anyone was, you know, a bad stereotype or anything like that. It felt like, well, I mean, besides every single character being admittedly stupid, but actually I think El Guapo was the smartest of all the characters, but
yeah, to an extent, pretty much everyone was on the same stupid playing field.
Yeah.
There was no like singling out.
Yeah. This came out in 86 or 7?
Yes, 6.
So I was still really little. I'm sure I saw it when I was a kid, which this is like the perfect kind of a movie for kids and families to watch together. It's such dad humor.
Oh, yeah. This is definitely like a, like your dad's favorite movie kind of thing.
Yeah. But I do remember one memorable, because I don't think I've watched it that many times in my life, but when I was in my early 20s, I went on this prolonged camping trip across the country, and I remember distinctly being in the Louisiana bayou, and I was in my tent, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to watch one of these DVDs I brought with me on my computer, and so I watched The Three Amigos, and I thought it was the funniest movie I'd ever seen. Now, there might be something to be said for, you know, being away from media for a prolonged period of time. But I was like, this is the best movie ever made. And then I never really have watched it since then. So,
yeah, it is. I can imagine if I was able to see this as a kid, I would have loved it because, like, just it's full of like getting hurt humor, which kids love.
Yeah.
And just very slapstick, very like silly and stupid, which, you know, that was kind of like me and my mom's kind of thing. Like, we would watch Napoleon Dynamite often, which is another very stupid movie. And so, yeah, I would have loved this movie.
Yeah, I don't feel like they make movies like this anymore.
That's I was thinking, too.
Especially, it's like a Saturday Night Live movie, so, but I feel like at a certain point in my youth, comedies became very raunchy, and that just was not really my preferred comedy, because I like stupid, obviously.
yes.
But I just don't feel like we ever went back to, like, the, I don't know, wholesome, I guess?
Yeah, just like good-hearted, but, like, so, like, just bad at everything. Like, the character is just bad at everything. I was thinking the same thing during while I was watching it, and I was wondering, is it, like, kind of, like, as a society we moved away from it, or is it more so, like, that style, that brand of humor is, like, really hard to, like, really elevate to a level where it's actually funny?
I don't know, because I was laughing the whole time. I watched it last night with my dad, and, you know, normally we watch Marvel or Star Wars, you know, whatever. We were watching Percy Jackson. And when I asked him if he wanted to watch it with me, he was kind of like, ugh, but I thought we were going to watch this. And I was like, yeah, but I got to watch it for the podcast. So let's watch it. And he hadn't seen it probably since it came out. And he was cracking up too. I was like, see, it's funny.
Exactly.
We're both just laughing a lot. And, you know, also Steve Martin and Martin Short and Chevy Chase are just very funny. It was a very unique premise for a movie. I don't think I've even ever seen a movie set in that, like, turn of the century silent movie Mexico Old West. I don't think there's any other movie that I've ever seen in that kind of a setting before.
Yeah, and I feel like I really loved how the premise was, like, moved, like, how the story was able to be moved along, like, when she's doing the when she's trying to, like, send the message to them to come help get rid of El Guapo, and he's like, well, I can give you the 10 peso version, and it's like, we're gonna cut out these specific lines so that they get confused. And it was just very funny, and I don't know, I love it.
Yeah, and it really had a brisk pace. It wasn't very long, and there were definitely, I was remembering it as we went along, and I was like, oh, we're already here. Oh, we're already here. Oh, I forgot about this singing bush.
Oh, yeah. That was very funny.
That was very Monty Python.
I think that's, I don't know, when did those come out? Because this, I've not seen.
More in the 70s, but.
More in the 70s?
Probably not.
I've not seen the Monty Pythons before, but I'm sure one day I will see them. But I feel like this was very much, like, up that alley where it's, like, you know, purposefully misunderstanding things and being too literal and, the singing bush and everything. Like, it was just over the top.
Yeah. It's been a while since I've watched any Monty Python. Maybe we should put that on the list at some point.
It's not a bad idea.
Well, do you have any notes for us?
I do. Let's get into them.
I was looking at the IMDb, but I never really looked at the trivia.
There's some good stuff in there.
Oh, also, I like that this is a movie, and it's very rare, with an exclamation point.
Yeah, yes.
So it's not just Three Amigos, it's Three Amigos! Yes.
And I guess if you're looking at, like, the, what you call it, like, the cover art for the movie, it does have an upside down exclamation point too.
Oh, really? that's Spanish, right?
That's the proper format for it. But all right, wait, where is it? Okay, so it was released December
1986. A nice Christmas movie.
Right. It was released December 1986. Was written by Steve Martin and Lorne Michaels and Randy Newman. And it was
Randy
directed
Newman,
by,
who I was like, Randy Newman. Then I realized, oh, the Toy Story composer guy who sings, yes, "You got a friend in me."
And plenty of other Disney movies.
Yeah, lots of Pixar's.
Yeah. And then it was directed by John Landis.
Yes.
Famous.
Steve Martin is a good writer.
He is a really good writer. Wish I could have seen him in Martin Short's show that they were kind of doing.
Oh, their recently. Live show?
Yeah, because I heard it was really good.
I need to watch some of that Murders in the Building. I've only ever watched the first episode.
It's good. I like it. I mean, they're great in it. And, you know.
Of course.
It's a murder mystery. It's always got to figure something out. For our cast, we have Steve Martin as Lucky Day. Chevy Chase. Yeah. It's like, these are very drag queen names. Chevy Definitely Chase like, as...
We invented them for our actor characters. Yeah.
Chevy Chase as Dusty Bottoms. Martin Short as Ned Niederlander.
I was like, is it Ned Niederlander?
Niederlander? Niederlander. Alfonso Arau as El Guapo. Tony
Who
Plana
was
as
in
Hefe.
Coco. I was looking him up.
Yes.
He's like in his 90s. He's
still working.
Done a ton. Yeah.
Yeah, I was so excited to see that he was in Coco. Patrice Martinez as Carmen.
She was great.
She was great. Kai Wolf as the German. John Lovitz as Morty. Was very excited to see him.
Yeah. I was excited to see Phil Hartman.
I know. Where is he? There he is. He was Phil Hartman with Sam. That was funny. And then Joe Mantegna as Harry Flugelman. Those are kind of like our main cast people. There's a lot of people who played like the villagers and the bartender and all the bar people. It was a pretty big cast if you think about it.
Yeah, there was a lot of extras.
Yeah, which and always I like a
featured
big extras.
Roles as well. Yeah, me too.
I like a full scene.
It felt very like, oh, there's a ton, and then you turn around to the other side. It's like it's the same people, but just on the other side.
Oh, movie magic! Yeah. All right, and then for some like trivia, Steve Martin apparently learned the lasso tricks while he was working at Disneyland as a teenager.
I was like, that is definitely something Steve Martin already knows how to do.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's kind of like one of those people who is like really good at like things that are not like popular. Like he's really good playing the banjo. Apparently knows lasso tricks. Like he's all these like he's one of those people who has all these like little side hobbies that are he's really good at.
Yeah, I'm sure he can juggle as well.
Yeah. Oh, probably. The singing bush was the voice of Randy Newman, but it got digitally yes. altered.
Okay.
apparently, Steven Spielberg considered directing the film, but he chose to work on E.T. instead. But he did say in an interview, he did say in an interview who his choices for the roles were. He would keep Steve Martin as Lucky Day, but he would have cast Bill Murray as Dusty Bottoms and Robin Williams as Ned Niederlander. So very interesting.
I mean, that would have probably definitely worked. I just don't know. I don't know that Bill Murray could have pulled off the dumbness as well. Mm-hmm. And Robin Williams, he also probably would have been good, but I don't know. I like what we got. It's hard to imagine other people when you're used to a cast.
Right. Well, and especially it's like a group of people who work together a lot. And so it's like they fit so well together. And it's hard to imagine a film like this being recast.
Was Robin Williams in SNL?
I think so. I feel like every year. Yeah, I feel like every year I'm like, oh, that person was on SNL? Let's see.
Was Martin Short on SNL? Or was he just on that Canadian one, SCTV?
I think Robin Williams was 86 through 88. And then Martin Short. I know Martin Short was on the Canadian one.
Right.
SCTV, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, Martin Short was only on SNL from 84 to 85.
Okay.
So, you know.
Okay, so Steve Martin. Very near. I was wondering if that's how Steve Martin and Martin Short met, but they probably were already on SNL together before this movie was made.
Yeah, I think especially like that kind of comedy scene in New York, I feel like a lot of people knew each other. I feel like I was some comedian was doing some interview where they were, I think, or maybe it was like early 90s. They were saying, like, when they were coming up, that they would just like go to, they would go to perform at the comedy show, and Robin Williams would be just in the crowd watching comedy shows, and sometimes he would come up and do a set himself, but that apparently he was very like supportive and all that kind of stuff. So I'm sure they all kind of went to each other's shows. And...
yeah.
That's very interesting.
I'm trying to picture the Robin Williams instead of Martin Short.
I know.
I can't. <It's> like, I just can't do it.
I can't picture it, but I know that he could do it because...
of course, he would have been great.
He's very much in that style. Let's see.
But Martin Short has that, like, I was a child actor look about him. Like, I could totally envision his character, you know, him as his character.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it seems like from this set of trivia that there was a couple different people offered the role, offered different roles. I think they were all sort of like Saturday Night Live, SNL related. Like apparently John Landis had already planned if Martin Short couldn't do it, that he would have cast Rick Moranis.
Okay, yeah, could see that.
Yeah, and then originally, I think when the movie was first like in production talks, they were talking about the three being Steve Martin, Dan Aykroyd, and John Belushi.
Ooh.
And then John Candy was also offered the role of Ned Neerlander, but he turned it down.
Whoa, because he, that would have been different.
Yeah. Well, and it says that he turned around because he turned it down because he wasn't able to ride a horse. So I don't know if that's necessarily true, but...
yeah, there's a lot of fancy horse riding, but I don't know how much they actually did themselves.
Oh, yeah, because, I mean, there's all those shots of, like, the flipping of the guns and everything. It's very purposefully zoomed in, which is always so funny to me. I love that.
Yeah, those hats make it very easy to hide your face.
Definitely. And then there was a lot of stuff about how the movie was kind of edited a lot after they finished it, and so a lot of things were cut, and apparently Fran Drescher had a role in it, but that was cut.
Really? What was she?
It does not say. It said all of her scenes got deleted.
The opening part, maybe?
Maybe, like, the Hollywood part. Or maybe she was, like, one of their, like, significant others, and she's like, you're a bum, I'm leaving you, or something.
Yeah, maybe.
Because you got fired. But yeah, there's some interesting stuff in here. There's quite a bit of notes because it is an older movie, so definitely feel free to have a look.
I feel like this movie, you don't hear about it very much, but it's just one of those classics to me because I guess it just felt the right time of my life. But I guess comedies are so easy to kind of fall through the cracks in a way.
Yeah, I would say if it's like one of those, if it's not like, I would say like a high impact comedy, where it's like, you know, at the award shows and everyone's always talking about it. It's definitely like there are some good like hidden gems.
Oh, yeah.
Especially in this era.
Oh, for sure. I love 80s comedies.
Me too.
Right. Well, shall we get into it?
Let's do it.
Okay. Now, I didn't take any notes because I was watching it with my dad, so I'm purely relying on my memory to remember what happened. So let me know if I missed anything. But we start off, actually, in Mexico with... Oh, I should probably just keep the cast list up because since I didn't make any notes, I'm never going to remember everyone's name. With Carmen.
Yes.
And she goes into this bar and she's looking for heroes to help, and no one in the bar is a hero. The church bells ring and she goes and they're playing a silent movie of the Three Amigos.
I was like thinking it was so interesting that they're playing a movie like I guess you would say a quote unquote violent as silent movies could be, in a church. But I was like, I bet you that was like the only wall big enough and the only place dark enough.
Yeah. Yeah. Or and with the organ, because you had to play along.
Right.
Movie days. I wonder what year this was supposed to be taking place. I don't know if it said at any point.
I don't remember it saying it, but IMDb does have these, like, they call them keywords, and there's like a section called plot time frames, and it's like the 1910s is what they have listed.
Well, that's what I was imagining. I know they talk about a movie, Little Neddy Goes to War, and so I wasn't sure if that was referencing World War One, but I'm not exactly sure when that was. Anyway, so.
Or maybe not. I don't know. Either way, there's lots of wars.
Yeah. So they watch this silent movie, which is very funny. It's black and white, and everyone's got such drag makeup. It's like very contoured and black lipstick, eyeshadow.
It is shocking, especially Martin Short, because he has like this unhinged kind of smile into the camera, and he just looks so crazy. But I love it.
Yeah. So we get a little indication, but I guess they assume that they're real. So they go to send a telegram.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when she has a whole explanation of like, we want you to come. We'll give you money. You can fight El Guapo. And she doesn't really have enough money to send the entire message. And they basically are like, come put on show. We'll give you 100,000 pesos.
Right. Like, fight El Guapo. The
infamous El Guapo.
Infamous.
The word that we done.
Yeah, because originally.
Several words from this movie.
Yeah. Originally, when she had the full message, she was like the evil, like conniving, murderous. And he was like, let's just use infamous because that's what all that means. Which it's like clearly no one in this movie knew what infamous was, because even when they get the telegram, it's very funny.
Yeah. This might have been where I learned that word. I definitely infamous. Think this movie is where I learned the word plethora. Yeah.
I love that.
So then we go to Hollywood, where the three amigos are having a meeting with, I guess, the head of the studio. And it's very funny. It's like the studio system where basically they don't get paid. They just get room and board. And
they get free clothes. They get provided everything to live.
Yeah. So Steve Martin tries to do a power play with the guy. And is rejected, and they are stripped naked and thrown off the lot.
Where'd you get those clothes? We provided them to you.
That's where Phil Hartman and John Lovett appear as well.
Yes.
And they're all doing their best.
It's show business, eh?
Gangsta accent. I don't know what kind of accent it is.
And he's like smoking the biggest, like fattest cigar. And
yeah.
It's very, you know exactly who this person is.
And right as they walk out the gate, there's a telegram for the three amigos.
Yeah, Steve Martin is like, I know, like, something will come up, I just know it. And as he's saying that, someone rides up on a bike, telegram for the three amigos. It's very perfect.
Yeah. So I don't know if there's a scene in between this, but this is one of my most memorable moments that I always think about from this movie. For some reason, Steve Martin is walking on the wall above them, like to try to sneak back into the studio
to get their costumes.
And he's like trying to make bird calls at them. They are not listening. And eventually he's like, look at me, look at me, look at me.
Look at me, you guys.
I always think about that.
It's very
funny. Anyway, they break in. They get their three amigos costumes. And the security guards try to catch them, but because they've got so much experience in, you know, swinging from ropes and that sort of stuff, they escape really easily and make their way to Mexico. So back in Mexico.
Yes.
The German, well, we see like a plane and this German in a flight suit comes in and he walks into the bar from earlier, the rough bar, and people try to give him a hard time and he shoots several of them and they're like, okay, we'll leave you alone. And he said he has some friends coming. They'll know him when they see him and they better treat him nicer than they treated him.
Yeah,
which is a great setup.
Oh yeah, because he's like, they're not as nice as I am.
And as soon as he leaves, the three amigos show up and they go into the bar looking for some information as to where they're supposed to go. And they're very actory, like smiling. They've got their full regalia on and everyone is terrified of them, thinking that they, because obviously if you were like, you'll know them when you see them, and they walk in, you'll be like, that's them. So they put on a show. Chevy Chase plays the piano and Steve Martin and Martin Short, Dusty and Lucky and Ned Lucky do and a a song and dance, My Little Buttercup.
It's so ridiculous. And like everyone's like kind of looking at them in fear, but also like, yeah, what's going on? And I love the scene right when they get there because they're like, you know, three beers, please. And he's like, we only have tequila because this is the middle of nowhere. And he's like, well, what's tequila? If it's like a light beer, I'll take it. Nope.
Yep. They drink it. It's funny. It's not, I was expecting like, bleh, but it was more like a, whoa.
Whoa, it's strong.
I like it at the end of the at the end of the song when they're getting all of the bar patrons to participate in the song with them.
Probably because they're all like terrified.
Yeah. So that's silly. Then right after them, the actual Germans show up and everyone's like thinking they must be able to be made fun of, and they shoot some more people.
Yes, they're like, look at these losers with their suits on, and then they just kill 20 people. And they're, yeah, everyone's like, we don't. I think the bartender is like, it's getting too rough in this town for me.
Yeah. The amigos have like kind of a divine, you know, like, what is it? The fool character who,
oh, there's like, know, divine intervention in everything they do. Guiding them on the path.
Yeah. But then Carmen shows up and takes them to her town, which I can't remember the name, yes, of.
It's San Poco, right? Is it San Poco? Santo Poco? Hold on.
Sounds right.
That sounds right. Santo Poco. Which it's like, I think it roughly translated as like a little saint.
It's a tiny town. There's a few bigger buildings, a church, and a couple of little tiny buildings.
Mm-hmm.
They get there and have a meal. And I think there's like three of El Guapo's henchmen who come to the town looking to,
yes,
get some tequila. And Carmen's like, you got to do it now. You got to drive them away. So they go out, they do their three amigos. I like the way they introduce themselves. I'm Dusty Bottoms. I'm Ned Niederlander. Together, we're the three amigos.
And they always, like, after they introduce themselves, do like a figure eight. Whether they're on horseback or on foot.
Yeah. And they have like a arm gesture, Macarena, yes, thing that they do.
So ridiculous.
Yeah. So they do their whole spiel and then they ride around the three villains on their horses, shooting their guns in the air. And the guys are like, let's go back and tell El Guapo about this. So everyone thinks they've driven them off. They're still, yeah, under the impression that they're just putting on a show.
Right.
And the town has a big, huge celebration that night with a ton of firework type things on these, you know, like the spinny ones on like a,
yes,
grid.
Like, yes. It's like affixed like onto like a wheel or something.
Yeah. And they all have a big dance and it's very funny. There's three women in the town who kind of have crushes on the amigos. Carmen likes Steve Martin and I guess if Fran Drescher was one of their girlfriends, probably would have been Steve Martin.
Probably.
Anyway, I like it when they're like, which one do you like? And she goes, the stupid one. And they're like, which one is that?
You have to be more specific.
So El Guapo, he's not your stereotypical bad guy. He's very, and when we first meet him, he's doing like this photo with all of his people in like a tableau, very theatrical. Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
And it's going to be his birthday soon. So they're all getting ready for that. His 40th birthday. But he decides that in the morning, they're going to go with like 50 men and kill the three amigos.
Yes.
So the next morning, the three amigos are kind of a little hungover. They're all sleeping in the same bed together. And Carmen comes in and is like, he's here. El Guapo's here. And they're like, oh no, a morning show.
Yeah. They're all like, oh, why do we have to work in the morning?
Yeah. So they go out. They're like, it's very nice to work with you. And they, call him a scum sucking pig and a son of a motherless goat.
And this is kind of like where we really see El Guapo, like, his like love of theatrics, because he doesn't interrupt them once. He kind of just lets them perform and just watches.
And he finds them funny.
Yes.
So he's like, just kill one of them. And I don't even know if we got the name. Well, I don't remember the name of
the sidekick.
Jefe. His number one henchman. And so he shoots. He only barely grazes Steve Martin's arm. It's just like barely any blood. Yeah. And Steve Martin is all incensed and goes up to them like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Takes the gun, does the revolver thing, and is like, oh, real bullets? You're going to hurt someone with these. And then notices that they have, I can't remember what they're called, but they're like the cross.
Bandoliers, I think.
Yes. The bandoliers of like bullets across their chest. And he's like, oh, this is real.
Yeah, so he tells the other two that, you know, this is actual real, that, you know, it's not just a show. And they all start to cry. And they get run out of town. Basically, they're like, can we just leave? And he's, you know, El Guapo's like, sure, you leave. And then his crew blows up / burns down the town.
Yes, because he's no longer offering his quote-unquote protection.
Right. So later that evening, the three amigos come back, because what else are they going to do?
Except wander the desert.
Everyone's giving them the stink eye. They want to talk to Carmen, but I forgot to mention El Guapo took her with him.
Yes. Kidnapped her.
Yeah. So I'm not doing a very good job of recapping this, but when they were talking, when they were sharing a bed the first night, they were like, what are you going to do with your share of the money? And Steve Martin's like, I'm going to get a car. And Chevy Chase is like, I'm going to show it off and be super rich for a while and travel. And Martin Short is like, I'm going to start an orphanage. Because he's got the heart of gold.
So he's got a tender heart.
Yeah. So when this happens, he's like, I'm drawing a line in the sand. Are we mice or are we men? And eventually they turn out that they're men. And
eventually
they go off into the desert to find El Guapo.
Yes.
So this is always a funny part. First, we see their song, which I was remembering they had a song, and I was getting it confused with the song from Joe versus the Volcano, because it's got the same dun 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 dun. But this one is about Little Cowboy.
I feel like it was one of those songs, like, after I heard it, I just kept singing that part over to myself in the head.
Yeah. It's a very fun song. I love those kind of songs. Mm-hmm. It had, like, all these had some real animals, some fake animals, all coming, converging to listen to them sing.
Of course. They're angelic voices.
They're acting as if Ned is a young child. Next day, I think first they have the gag where they're trying to drink out of their canteens. Mm-hmm. And they don't have any, or a bunch of dirt falls in their face. And then Chevy Chase has like an entire one that's just kind of spitting water.
It's like gurgling, you know, washing his face. And Martin Short is just caked with dirt and sand.
Yeah, a lot of these are definitely probably better, much funnier if you're just watching it as opposed to me trying to explain it.
They're just very silly, very visual.
Yeah, then they go, they have to find a singing bush and do some, this was the part that was very Monty Python, but yes. They have to shoot in the air and an invisible swordsman will show them the way to El Guapo's. And even though there is a singing bush right there, Dusty Bottoms is incredulous about the invisible swordsman and ends up accidentally shooting him.
Because he does not shoot in the air.
But they managed to find it anyway.
Yes. I also laughed when he was like, are you the singing bush? And it's like, a bush that's singing. How often are you going to see a singing bush?
Yeah, right. It's like, will you answer me? Just keep singing. And it's like, yeah, it's the only singing bush you've ever seen. It's definitely the singing bush. So they get to El Guapo's camp, which is pretty much in the middle of his birthday celebration.
Yes.
They all climb up to the roof and swing on their, ropes. And Chevy Chase makes it straight into Carmen's cell. Not really cell, but where she's being held.
Mm-hmm.
Martin Short, Ned, ends up stuck with his feet in a piñata, like above celebrations. And Lucky goes straight into the middle on the ground.
Of course.
So luckily, Chevy Chase and Carmen break out of the cell fairly easily, thanks to Carmen. And she goes to get some horses. Steve Martin gets locked up in this crazy cell with some weight contraption thing. And I don't know. Yeah. So anyway, silliness ensues. Mistaken identity. Steve Martin pulls himself finally and manages to escape. It's just a really weird contraption. And Martin Short falls from the sky. And the German recognizes him as a child actor that inspired him to learn all these Western skills when he was growing up.
Of course.
How could you possibly be the quickest draw? So he challenges him to a duel, basically, which Ned kills him.
Yeah, the buildup was really funny because he has, like, you know, his, like, I guess I was going to call them show guns, but I guess they're real guns. They're, like, really clean, pretty, clearly never been used. And and Hefe is like, you know, if you're going to die with a real gun in your hand. And he gives him, like, a really big revolver that's, like, very dirty. And he, like, goes to grab it, and it's, like, way too heavy for him, and he's falling over. It's very funny.
Yeah, so you don't think he'll do it. He won't be able to do it. But he does. He pulls it off, and...
Yes. And it makes him fly back into the horses.
Yeah, and the gun flies up into the air to Steve Martin, who pulls everyone at gunpoint, and...
Yes.
They escape with Carmen and the horses. They come upon the German's plane, which Ned, in theory, knows how to fly because he had to learn kind of how to fly, but really a stuntman did all the flying.
It was like he didn't necessarily learn for himself. His stuntman did all of it. He's like, well, I think I can. And it's like a Red Baron style kind of plane.
Yeah. Two-seater. So it's him and Carmen in the seats. And then... Lucky and Dusty are hanging on to the wings.
And I love the I guess we call them like the wide shots from the ground of them flying it, because the two people hanging on the wings, it's very clearly like mannequins or dummies, and it's just very funny how they're just like, whoa.
Yeah, it seems very dangerous and precarious. I don't think they get above about 20 feet off the ground. No, the whole time.
they're kind of riding the ground, and then they're up, and then they're down. It's very funny.
But luckily, he flies it well enough and fast enough to make it to the town long before El Guapo and his crew can make it. And he gets to the town, and Ned has an inspiring speech, and he's like, "What is this town good at? We have." Well, they think about it for a while, and then one of the grandmas is like, "We can sew," and they remember one of their movies, and we get a montage of everyone sewing.
Yes.
And digging a giant pit.
Well, and of course, it's like Ned and Dusty are quote unquote helping, but their tools keep getting like tangled up. And it's just like, don't even bother helping. You're getting in the way.
Yeah. They eventually, I think, end up sewing as part of their...
Yes.
It's very funny. You see all this black fabric, and then there's close-ups of the sewing machine, and there's no stitches being stitched.
I did see that, and I was like, I mean they technically put like black stitching, like black thread. I was like, I guess you could totally argue, but it did look like,
no, there's no thread in there.
There's nothing going through.
So the next morning, El Guapo rides into town. It doesn't look like there's anyone there. But then the three amigos show up on a balcony and start shooting at them and start picking them off one by one. And then they're behind them, and then they're next to them. Basically, the whole town is in disguise as the three amigos, and they're kind of like picking off the bad guys one by one. At some point, a huge group of them just leave, and El Guapo gets shot. And he has a funny last moment where he's like, "Come closer. Closer." They shoot Steve Martin in the foot. Presumably also just barely a flesh wound. And then dramatically dies. Finally, just like the movies, the town offers them all the money they have. But Ned, with his heart of gold, says he can't take the money. That wherever justice is... in need, I can't say it right, but they'll be there.
Exactly, wherever justice is in need or something.
Yeah.
The three amigos will be there.
Yes. And they ride off into the sunset. There's some kissing that goes on,
of course,
just barely any kissing, very chaste. There's one really hot woman who gives Ned a passionate kiss out of nowhere. And that's the end. The credits roll.
I love it. So much fun.
Very fun. I don't know if I did a very good job of recapping it, but you should definitely watch it.
Yeah, I would say it's definitely worth a watch. It's really silly, really funny. So if you're looking for like very like kind of just like, you know, something you can chill and watch, I think it's a great option.
Yeah. You can definitely watch it with the whole family. I don't even think there's maybe like one innuendo kind of a joke that no child will probably get. But other than that, it's, you know, about as chaste as you can get.
Yeah, there's not really that much like cussing, and it's totally fine.
It's very wholesome, very silly. It's practically a cartoon come to life.
Oh, that's a great way of putting it. Did you have a favorite scene or two?
Favorite scene. Well, I really like when they do their little song in the desert on the way. Mm-hmm. I like the big escape from El Guapo's. I think that's great. That's one of my favorite parts for sure.
I love that part.
Yeah. I mean, I really, and of course, look at me, look at me, look at me.
Look at me.
I really like El Guapo as a bad guy. I think he's very fun.
Oh, yeah. He's great. The actor is really great.
Yeah. I thought everyone was really good. What about you? Did you have a favorite part?
Yeah, I love the standoff, the shootout, or the what's it called?
With Ned and the
quick
German.
Draw. Yes, the quick draw I think is really funny. And I also really liked when Carmen was in, when she was being held captive and like the other women were around her, and the one woman was like, listen, if you're going to be with El Guapo on his birthday, there's some things you need to know.
Yeah.
Do you know anything about foreplay? And she's like, what's foreplay? And she's like, good. El Guapo doesn't know either. It's just very, like, definitely going to go over the head of any kids, but like, perfect, you know,
yeah,
adult humor. I loved it. I thought it was so funny.
Yeah. She was a fun character.
Mm-hmm.
Would have liked to see more of her a little bit, but.
Me too.
I really liked how much all of his men loved him, El Guapo.
Yes. And he seemed like a good leader.
Yeah, how they're having this silly birthday party. And yeah, I liked Hefe a lot as well.
Oh, yeah. He was very silly. I loved his like final scene where he's like, El Guapo's like, oh my God, all my men are dead. And Hefe's like, you still got me. And then he gets shot.
Yeah. I just really enjoyed also watching it with Dad and just, you know, both cackling the whole time.
Yeah, this is a great movie to watch with dads, I would say.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. But I guess that's it for today. Unless, was there anything else?
No, I think that's it.
Okay. Oh, I really enjoyed it.
Me too.
And next week we're coming back with some more Jane Austen, because it's Loveuary on the Hallmark Channel and it's all Jane Austen themed. So we're just going to cover those.
Yes,
since they're so topical at the moment.
We're going to capitalize on the moment and do some Hallmark Jane Austens.
I guess I'll have to figure out how to get Hallmark for a month.
Yeah, that's like, you know, my gripe with all these streaming things. It's like, where do I watch anything? And unfortunately, the only places to watch this were Pluto or Tubi. So,
oh, did you have to watch it on those? I pulled out my DVD.
Ah, lucky. It wouldn't give me the option to rent or buy it, which was so weird.
Yeah.
So both, I don't know what that was about.
This one and Emma were both like, why are these so difficult?
Yeah.
Now that you can get any streaming service, you'd think every movie would be on something.
You'd think, but no. So unfortunately, if you use Pluto, you have to watch commercials, which, you know, I'm a little privileged in being able to not watch commercials all the time. So it was definitely different, but at least it was free.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yes.
So you can watch it on Pluto or Tubi too.
Yes. if you want to get in contact with us, you can email us at mannersandmadness@gmail.com. On Twitter, we're at mannersmadness. On Instagram, we're at mannersandmadnesspod. And on Thread, we're also at mannersandmadnesspod. And we have a website, mannersandmadness.com, and you can leave us a 1-minute voicemail. And if you feel so obliged, you can hit the donate button. We would really appreciate it.
Yes, and we'd love any 5-star ratings you would like to give us on Spotify or Apple Music, or any other streaming platform that you listen to us on.
Yes, very much appreciated.
Yes, and we will be back next week with some Loveuary.
Yes. Yes, until then, thank you for listening, and we'll see you then.
Good night.
Bye.